Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Time for the manager's report with Mike Schild. Refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water, just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. And let's bring him right on, the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schild. Schilty, how are you?
I'm doing good with you. How about yourself, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Ben, now, I don't know if you know this. Ben begged off today. He's out. He went on vacation. He did a half show today, I think, just to dodge you. So he's out today.
Okay. All right. Well, wish him all the best.
Write that down.
Taking notes.
He's listening right now. I thought originally maybe you could record some questions for Schilty, and then he read them to me. I go, never mind. We'll handle it.
Well, he's a hard worker. I'm sure he deserves a vacation.
He definitely does. We had a great time up in Philly. Got to see you guys and talk to you briefly out there. And now Philly coming back to town. They're pretty nasty, Schilty. You and I talked in the dugout a couple months ago about how life in the big leagues, man, it is like, all right, we got through Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen and Eduardo Rodriguez, and our prize is Ranger Suarez and Zach Wheeler again and Sanchez. There's just no quarter for you guys sometimes.
Yeah, it's the game. It's the league. You know, we got a good club too. And
yep.
Philly does. They got really good pitching. They got, you know, really good offense, and, you know, they're a strong ball club. It's, you know, been a perennial playoff team the last several years and made deep runs. And, but yeah, it's a good chance to go compete. We love competing.
I'm not going to speak for you or your players. I'll speak for just us as a radio show covering the team on a day in, day out basis. All-star break approaching. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. A few days off to catch our breath. For you, what is the, now I noticed you're not going to be helping out coaching the NL All-Stars this year. Did not get the call from Dave Roberts, but what is on your agenda, this All-Star break?
Yeah, I didn't get that. Get the text or call, but surprising.
Very shocked.
Yeah, no, it's all cool, man. You know, I want to go as the manager.
Yes, we want you to.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, no, I mean, listen, you know, the All-Star break's appropriate. You know, there's not a consecutive day off for anybody. You know, starting in, you know, fairly early February, so that's a long time to ride hard, you know, for without any real time off. That being said, it didn't hear yet, and we got work to do.
Yeah, that's 100% right, and these three games are they're big ones, man. They're big ones. You guys are 50-43 right now, so you know, no matter what happens, you're going into the break in a little bit better position even than last year. Your assessment, Schilty, of the grind that the guys have been on, because they're grinding hard. I mean, it. These since July started, it's win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Look, those could all been L's, you know, and nobody would be happy with that, you or your players. What's your assessment of how your guys have played recently?
You know, it could always be better, but, you know, like you said, it could always not be as good as it is. So what's the assessment? You know, it's interesting, and I'm not sure this is exactly to answer your question, but you know, the assessment for me is, you know, a lot of good people. At the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, and we've been able to fight our and scratch and claw and be able to piece some games together that and pull some games out. We've also left some games on the table, but what's the assessment? You know, guys have been getting out there, and there's zero lack of you know, especially from the staff and the players, desire. You know, that desire part's there. And it really starts with that. There's also the lens of, you know, what is good baseball. And, you know, like I kind of referenced a minute ago, and to follow up on the point, you know, the left and the right columns are what ultimately matter, the win and the loss. I recognize that, but also look at the game from a lens of, you know, more a holistic lens, and, you know, always start, or are we being together with what we're doing? And the group is together. Every team's different. Every team's finding the rhythm of what together looks like. We do have a core that knows what that looks like. And, you know, part of that togetherness is the dedication to, at the end of the day, shaking hands. And I can tell you, when we win, we enjoy it. And I want to always celebrate it and talk about that, and want the guys to have fun and see those, you know, beautiful smiles that we have, and see the personalities come out. But when we don't, the guys take it hard. You know, that you know, it hurts. You know, that locker room's hurting. But the good news is we are invested in the outcome. So that's a win. And after that, you know, it comes with the pitching, you know, throwing strikes and doing all the little things that allow you to help win a ball game. And generally speaking, we pitched very well. You know, we've had some times where some walks have hurt us, or a hit batter, or, you know, along those lines, of course, a homer here and there that gets you, but, you know, that is going to happen. And, but generally speaking, we've taken care of our business on the mound. So I can feel good about that. Had overall starters bullpen. We've been able to have some guys plug in that, you know, we've needed to step up. And one of them's going tonight, and Berger, he's pitched well. And, you know, he's going to need to pitch well tonight and just do his part, not do anything more than that. And just not make the situation bigger than it is. So the pitching's been good. Then I look at the defense, and, you know, the defense captures a lot. You know, it captures, you know, making the routine play. We've done that very well, especially over the last, you know, 7 weeks or so, 6 weeks. We've really caught the ball. You know, the great play is, you know, a part of it, and the athleticism being on display. You know, Jackson and Toddy more recently in the same game, Robin a homer, but also defensively is, you know, we've done some good things relative to the little things. You know, last night, Maldi throwing at the back end of a double steal, you know, hitting the cutoff man, and just being fundamentally sound in what we do. We don't really give away a whole lot and have it defensively. So, you know, when you look at those three things, you go, man, we're playing some really good baseball. And then, you know, the last component of that is, you know, offensively. And, you know, it's the hardest thing in our sport to be consistent at. That's not alibying anything. It's not, you know, giving an excuse to the guys. It's just a fact. You know, I do a national radio show, and with that, you know, I'm guessing pretty much every manager in the league does through Major League Baseball. And, you know, I've done it for years and established relationships with a lot of the guys that talk to a lot of the, and I said, hey, I guess is you probably ask about every manager, and they're, yeah, about 28 managers get to ask the same offensive questions consistently. And, yeah. But yeah, we're not trying to be one of 28. We're trying to be, you know, one, but, you know, the offense has been as consistent as we'd like. You know, the biggest two things for me is just making sure, and easier said than done. You know, stuff now is just crazy. You know, I talk to former players that come out and watch games, and, you know, I'm not talking former players like, you know, it's like, you know, talking to Ozzie Smith more recently. I'll see Ozzie in St. Louis, but, you know, guys that have been out of the game for, you know, 5-8 years are good players. I go, you know, I picked a good time to have my career, you know.
Got out just in time.
Yeah, you know, and so, but again, I don't want to alibi because it's what it is. And yeah, we're, you know, we're a winners find solutions group. So, you know, the harder something is, the more you got to be, you know, you got to bear down and get after it. That being said, as we've been, you know, we got to be more disciplined in the strike zone, and we've got to be a little more consistent with our approach and just try to get that guy in from third base. And, you know, but the base running is part of our offense, and overall it's been good. We, you know, we're one of the better teams in the league at, you know, our leads and the first and second. We do a great job first and third, second to home, first to home. But, you know, so you look up in total and, you know, we do a lot of things really well. So, I'm pleased. You know, we get a little more consistent with the hard thing to do, but, you know, that's the job. That's what it's going to call for. You know, we'll continue to be fine, but we're in a good spot overall. And, you know, people would always think, you know, we want to be better. Of course we want to be better, but, you know, that pendulum can go either way.
Talk. Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
New Padres manager Mike Schilt on the manager's report, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. And I'm glad you brought up the word approach, because I do feel that, you know, when the offense isn't going right, you know, in our chat, maybe dumb radio hosts, I won't mention any names, you know, you talk about, well, you know, I don't like the approach of this team or this philosophy. And, you know, can you distill your team's approach for us so that we understand, you know, better what it is? And I know, you know, look, we talk about ballpark factors and things like that. We had a big long discussion about it yesterday. It was really good, and it was kind of fun to talk about. But for you guys, you know, what is the Padres' offensive approach as you see it in a perfect world?
Well, let me ask you a question. Shoot. I mean, we've talked about our approach in Petco Park hitting for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
So where do you help me understand where you're disconnected?
It's mostly like when things aren't going good, it's, well, we need to change our approach. And you know, what we'll come on and say, or what I think I said yesterday is, look, this team hits the ball hard up the middle, and that's kind of what you've been told since you were a little kid, right? Like, hit hard middle will never fail you. And you know, with Petco, sometimes, you know, I can recall Xander, you know, yakking some balls to center, and he's like, oh, I got it. No, I didn't. I got Petco'd a little bit. Jackson Merrill hit a ball, perfect launch angle, 106 mile an hour off the bat, you know, went to the warning track. It happens. It's ballpark factors and things like that. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with the approach. I think it's just something that people like to yell out maybe when things aren't going well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, we've got a clear identity, and, you know, you said it never fails, but it can fail. That's the thing about baseball that, you know, is as maddening as anything.
Yes.
You get the hardest thing to do. And again, not to alibi, just stating a fact, man. And it's also a healthy mindset to understand this. And I think it could be healthy potentially for people that are listening. And that is, yeah, you can have hitting's the hardest thing to do in all of sports. And then just to physically do it, and it's getting harder and harder, you know, and so you take that all into account between the stuff and the understanding and the data and the positioning, which I'm getting to in a minute. And then you can do it completely right. And, you know, outside of, like, you know, a guy making an attempt on a hockey goalie or a shot getting blocked, but, you know, yeah, pretty much any other sport, you know, you do it right. You know, golf is, from what I hear, really hard. I don't play it really, but I played enough to know it's hard. And but yeah, if you hit and you read all the, you know, you have the right approach,
yeah,
to the shot, you know, it's gonna go where you want. You know, if it's a putt, it's gonna go in. You know, there's nobody running out from the crowd jumping in front of the, you know, in front of the hole
to kick it away.
You know. And they have what they call goaltending in basketball.
Yep.
You interfere with the shot. In baseball, to your point, you can have the right approach. You can hit a ball off a pitcher and it bounces to a fielder. You can hit a ball, a line drive right in the infielder. You can line out to the outfielder, you know, the center fielder. You can do all these things. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, we all accept that result didn't happen. And sometimes it, you know, leads to us not winning a baseball game.
Yep.
And why it's important for at least our players to understand it is, all you can do and all I can ask them to do is to have a good idea of what they're doing and be able to take the best chance they can at it. And then after that, once you've done it, to actually counterintuitively reward yourself for something that didn't lead to a result.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, you know, you aren't able to produce that, and you were, you know, chasing out of the zone. Again, stuff's really nasty, but that's when, you know, you got to be able to do your best. And again, we give our guys grace for it, figure out a way to have that approach and do what the game calls for, as Toddy says, that sums up a hard game simply. And every situation's different. That's the other thing. Every situation is a situation, and just have a situation, again, to what the game calls for. And if we can see the intent to that, then that's about all we can do. You know,
yeah.
I was talking to Nick Puta brought this point up, one of our coaches, and, you know, we won the game the other night, 1-0. And he goes, man, it was nice to win a game where we didn't out hit somebody. And I'm like, you know, we've out hit people and lost a fair amount of games.
Sure.
Can I explain that? When we play clean defensively, we walk two or less, we out hit somebody. You can point at a place and say, yeah, this happened, that happened. They hit a homer, we didn't. I can explain that. But, you know, I've done it long enough to know that those things happen consistently, and they had enough with the club that we have to be able to be 7 games over and in a spot to contend for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's great wisdom, you know, to hear from you and Nick Punto about that. You talk about approach. Talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, you know, I thought Jackson Merrill's approach last night was great. He laid off some of those pitches he'd been offering, and he worked three walks.
Three times, and he made a great base running decision to go first and third.
And, you know, for him, it's like we spent a good amount of time talking about him yesterday as well. You know, how much we all love Jackson, believe very much in Jackson. I know you love Jackson, believe very much in Jackson. How hard is it to convince a player to love themselves and what's happening right now? Because it's not, I can't imagine the last time that guy had trouble at the plate, right? Not since he was 7 years old or something, Skipper. So doing it on the highest level, not coming through. Nobody wants it more. You can see it in his face, in his body language, everything. He wants to win.
The frustration. When he barrels one and they just make a great play in the gap or something. He's rounding first and he just puts the hands up. Like, do I got to do?
Alec Thomas. You know, the play he made the other night on Merrill, it's just really, really tough. But to see him last night say, all right, I'm not going to do it, I thought that was impressive. And, you know, it's just speak, right? Just say, oh, maybe this gets him back on the right track. But you as his manager, how do you convince him how good he is and how good he can be?
Well, probably a couple things. I mean, first of all, you're right. It's Jackson's, you know, he's struggled more than he's ever struggled in his career. Jackson rightfully, clearly came to the big leagues last year and was ready for it.
Yep.
But that is also, and more players, and this is the slippery slope of player development, is making sure guys get here. And quite frankly, and I didn't understand this until I was in, when I was in player development early in my player development career, which, you know, I was in player development for a long time, and we had a farm director by the name of Gary LaRock, and Gary would be like, you know, it's good for them to struggle. I'm like, no, it's not. They need confidence. But he was right. It was good for them to struggle. And I've seen guys that end up being really good all-star caliber players, and in some cases on a trajectory to Hall of Fame, struggle in their player development career, minor league career. That was brutal for them in AA or AAA or A ball. And, you know, we always look to push guys a little bit further than they were maybe ready for, that we thought were going to be really good ball players, big league players. And we kind of set them up to struggle in some cases. And gave him a safety net a little bit, you know, as far as a day off here or there. But those guys, but big league players figure out a way to come through it. Jackson didn't get that. And, you know, these guys with Jackson's ability get to the big league so quickly. And ultimately, it's just a matter of time before they're going to have that struggle, and they're going to do it at the highest stage. But what do I tell Jackson? Listen, Jackson's got a wonderful, Joe Torre would say this about Derek Jeter. It's a trait that Jackson has, and it's a huge compliment. You know, he's got some inner conceit, and that's a, you know, Jackson's very humble, very gracious, very respectful of the game. But Jackson knows he's a good player.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that arm around him and a friendly reminder, is helpful. And, you know, I get the chance to love and do life with Jackson like I do a lot of our guys. But, Jackson knows he's a good player, and he's going to figure out what that looks like. And, you know, he's going to learn from this experience. And, you know, the thing about good, smart players is they learn from other people's experiences, and Jackson's been able to do that. You know, we have some real wisdom in our clubhouse, and that's one of the things that I encourage all of our players to do. And had a great example the other day of Manny with his 2,000 hit. You know, yeah, let's celebrate the heck out of 2,000 hits. That's a heck of an accomplishment. But, man, take a step back and, you know, realize how this guy goes about it to get those 2,000 hits.
Yep.
And be able to figure out to emulate his mental, physical toughness. And what, you know, how emotionally he stays even keel with the game and stays reconnected with what he knows his ability is. But that's other people's experiences, and those are valuable to learn from. But the experiences that are also valuable and most valuable in life that I would guess everybody in this call, including myself, could resonate with are your own experiences. And, you know, unfortunately, Jackson's, you know, going through things that, you know, if you talk to Xander Bogaerts, who also similarly, in looking at his career, got to the big leagues at a very early age and won a World Series. And the next year, went through a rite of passage of struggle for the first time in his career. And so Jackson will learn from it, but you got to go through it to learn from it, and he'll be better for it ultimately.
That was great stuff. So much time this morning that you spent with us, Shilty. I really, really appreciate it. Good luck to you guys the rest of the way before the break. Have a nice, restful, relaxing break for yourself, and then we'll talk to you. What, couple weeks?
I'm just looking at the calendar. You'll be in St. Louis when we talk to you next. How about that?
Back to St. Louis. Should be a pretty big series, as most of them are throughout the rest of the year, and it'll be right before the trade deadline. We'll have a lot to talk about, and hopefully a lot of wins in that time as well. Skip, have a great break. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, you guys have a nice day. Appreciate it.
That was the Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.